not dead yet. Hello, this is Andrew Gamble. We thank you for keeping us in the podcast feeds, or you've found this on Twitter somehow. We aren't dead. We're here to do a kind of brief retrospective of the league season so far, kind of go through our teams and have a wee nose at what's been going on. Allegedly Scotland are playing, but I'm just kind of blanking that and repressing that memory out of my mind. So we'll allegedly come and talk about some of these things. I have two people here with me who I know are both equally delighted to be back speaking on the podcast. First of all, I have Callum Scott with me. Callum, we've managed to resurrect the podcast somehow. How are you doing?
Indeed we have, Gamba, and I'd like to say to the listeners, hello, it's good to be back. To quote the great man, as you'll be aware, who's been in the headlines this week for a controversial song, so it's fairly he gets a quote in Busboy as well. So no, it's great we're eventually back on the podcast, despite everyone else doing all they could to kill the pod. We've kept it very much alive.
Yes, I'm also joined here by Ryan Crombie, who's standing there at the grassy knoll, disappointed with a sniper that he wasn't able to kill the podcast off. How are you, Ryan?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on here via like a podcaster agency or something. It's not out of want. I want to be here. It's out of means and necessity to feed the family.
Yes. Everyone, absolutely delighted. Well, we're happy you're deciding still to listen to us for some reason, whatever reason that may be. But yeah, we're going to very quickly discuss Scotland. We are recording this on Sunday morning, so the San Marino game hasn't happened yet, and maybe it's something we've all just subconsciously, it's a game we do not want to talk about. Who knows, this might come out after this game goes out, and of course if the result goes the way that it could, there's a reason we aren't talking about it. Very quickly, Callum, do you want to talk about Scotland versus Russia, because it was probably the most recent football game kind of relevant to us, but I don't really want to talk about it. It was fucking horrible.
Well, to sum it up, I actually was meant to be working late that night with my other job, and we were going to be watching the Scotland game.
Your other job as opposed to the podcast?
Yes, well, my first job, but by that means. So, and we were planning to watch the Scotland game just for something to do. One thing happened, my job got cancelled in the afternoon, and I still didn't bother to go and watch the Scotland game, even though, and that's just my general feeling towards the national team at this point. I've actually got two free tickets for the game this afternoon,
so do
which
I
am not going. I'm trying to give them away to somebody because I'm not going to go. So Thursday, total disaster. But I know it's a kind of unpopular opinion here. How I'm not going to get away. The performances have been disastrous to say the least. But these games are irrelevant for me. I genuinely do think that they're irrelevant. They're glorified friendlies up until the Nations League. That's the only reason Clark's took the job, and I think that it's only fair to judge him after the Nations League campaign. And I actually do think that he will get us through the Nations League, much to the hilarity of the rest of the podcast.
Ryan, I know that your kind of relationship with the Scotland national team has been strained recently. I mean, your kind of relationship with football recently has been strained, I would say.
The Scotland team
is why you're back on the podcast. You watched that game on Thursday and you're just like, this is why I love football, this is why I want to keep talking about it. I mean, surely.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I'm on here out of necessity to feed the family rather than to speak about football, because I'm done. genuinely, it's just
unless it's a Portsmouth Southampton game, you're done.
Well, that's actually quality time to spend with the family, watching over a cup of coffee, Casey. So,
the family that you're feeding by coming on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I genuinely just I watched Scotland get battered on what was it Thursday night they conceded four goals. Like, they were in the game at half time. they were okay, and then they just chucked it away. And I just don't care. I just find myself watching it, laughing. Like, that boy scoring that absolute screamer, and like just laughing, because it's just, I don't think anyone cares anymore. No. Genuinely. And I think there's 10,000 people expected to go to the San Marino game tonight. I mean, 10,000 people, that is abysmal. I had a look, 37,000 people attended the Liechtenstein game in 2010. I mean, I think that just shows you where, and it's a game where Scotland are going to win and Scotland are going to score goals, and nobody even cares. Nobody wants to go and see that, because it is just so dire. I've got to the point where I made money out of Thursday night, because I put Russia -2 on. So I was actually got to the point where I was wanting Russia to score as many goals as possible. I was angry it was 0-0 at half time.
Jesus wept. The only time that I have ever bet against my team, which is Kilmarnock, for anybody that doesn't know that, listen to the podcast.
Any new listeners?
I was that upset with how things were going, and I really wanted Gary Locke to get sacked, right? So we were playing at home to Dundee United.
Imagine wanting your own manager sacked.
Exactly. He's a good football man, Locke, unlike that clown Alessio, you know, who's got no friends in the media. But anyway, so I was like, nah, I'm done with this. I'm like, if we get beat today, he's gone, because Dundee United were bottom of the league. This was the season Dundee United got relegated as well. Sorry, Tom McKinnon. So in Mixu, come back to Rugby Park for the first time, so I'm like, I wasn't even at the game. So I was like, got to put a tenner and Billy McKay to score anything and Dundee United to beat us at 9-1. I'm like, easy money, bang, hunger smackers back. The bet was placed. Kilmarnock drew one each and Billy McKay scored. So the one time that I actually bet against Kelly, they still let me down. And Gary Locke stayed in a job for about another 2 months after that as well, unfortunately. So yep, that was that.
I'm trying to remember the last time I bet against Celtic. I think it was under Dyla. It was the Ross County League Cup semi-final. And I remember the Celtic team coming through, and I think it was like,
boo.
I'm sure it was like Boyata and Ambrose were playing centre half, and this was like before Boyata like kind of became a player. I remember just looking at the centre half pair, and I was just like, "Yeah, we're done. Like we're out of this cup today."
Right. I mean,
yeah, I was, and I think Ambrose got sent off and gave away a penalty as well. So
I was going to say, was there a sending off quite early on in that game or something?
I think Celtic scored after like a minute or something like that.
And then
2 minutes later, Ambrose had given away a penalty and got himself sent off. And I was like, well, okay, great. You know, just... I think we all kind of knew it was kind of the end of the road for Dial, and if I was going to benefit materially out of it, may as well. Anyway.
I mean, to bring it back to the Scotland game, just...
Oh, God,
point.
Why?
I mean, as soon as I saw that Michael Devlin was starting against... some semi-decent players in international football, I mean he didn't actually have that bad a game, but I mean, if you're calling on Michael Devlin, who has been atrocious for Aberdeen over the last 2 months, then it's curtains before kickoff. And I think if you put beside Charlie Mulgrew, then it just makes things a lot worse.
Mulgrew is actually everything that's wrong with the national team. Like, you know,
he's not even a centre half, man.
Like, he's all right there with like Celtic or that, like 10 years ago, nearly, like
with Aberdeen,
like, with the sheep, aye. But no, like, it's just like the goal that summed up how horrendous we were was at their last goal, in Mulgrew. And Devlin both couldn't get the win the header against the striker. Like, just like bundled it over the line for about 3 yards or something. Like,
that's like, the third time.
Come on, that's your two centre halves, man. Like, one of them's got to win the header. No, the two of them got for it, miss it, and the striker puts it away. You're just like, Mulgrew, nah, everything that's wrong. He's not got to be here, can't you? Like, he's not got to be here if and when we eventually qualify for a major tournament. So what's the point in playing him? I don't know, man. There's no balance to the team at all. Far too many left-footed players for my liking. I don't want to have a like genocide against folk that are left-footed either. But it's just like we played England the Griffiths game, and our full back five were all left-footed from right and soon because we played Tierney at right back, and then you had Berra and Mulgrew at centre half or something like that, and you're like, I know this was a couple of years ago, but there's just no balance to the team. Gordon and Nets and that at that point, they're just like, because I think that's a lot of Kelly fans were kicking off. Oh, why is Stuart Finlay no playing and Mikey Devlin as well? I'm like, in a way, I think Devlin had to play because at least he balances out the back four of it, man. Like, Finlay's an left-footed player playing next to Mulgrew, like, nah, it's a joke. All left-footed players, none of them cultured left-footed players, although Mulgrew would like to get on that, he is.
If you're a cultured left-footed player, you have to be able to take a free kick, don't you? And actually score one occasionally. Or be on set pieces.
Exactly.
I was actually, just on a side note, I was actually slightly concerned about the welfare of my dad on Thursday night, because he said that what's happened to Charlie Mulgrew, because the ball used to get punted up to Adam Rooney and he would go down and then Mulgrew would score the free kick. And I was like, well, they were played at Aberdeen different eras, so it was a rush to the hospital for us after the game.
Absolutely.
Oh dear. No, I mean, Scotland now, it's actually gotten so ingrained now where I'm just like, even if we qualify for this tournament, I'm just like, I wouldn't even care. I was talking to Gone But Not Forgotten, RIP, Press F to pay respects to Lewis Kemp, not that long ago about this, and he was saying, like, no, it's Scotland are going to be playing at a major tournament in Hampden, that's going to be something to like be excited about. And I'm like, yeah, but like, we're going to get beaten at home by Latvia in a major tournament, how can you be excited for this? There's nothing good, there's no players in there that actually have any ability to win a game of football against, you know, fucking Russia. It's one of these things where people are going like, nah, if we qualify, that's like the silver bullet, that'll solve everything. No, we will still be shite, and it goes far beyond a manager or players coming in now. It's a mindset now that you're just never going to be able to change.
I mean, I think it's almost a wee bit similar to, dare I mention it, where Aberdeen are at the minute, in terms of people can accept getting beat by Germany, France, Spain, like, but what Scotland used to have with the fight and determination and all that kind of stuff, it's just gone. They just get rolled over in these games. Like, there's no like Belgium at Hampden, like, they just turn up, got beat, and it just doesn't look like the players care. So,
but I think even I do actually agree, I was just at the kind of wind up there, but like, I do agree, but even like the Belgium game, I don't even think it's a fair representation of what we're about. And the full game, it tells you everything, man. There was less than 30,000 at the Belgium game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like, because folk know that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter now. I know that's part of the problem, but it's because we're that far away from qualifying out the group. Folks are just right off these games. So it'll be a total, I honestly do believe it'll be a different ballgame coming with the Nations League. I mean, when you play Germany, Spain and that at home, France made it hard for them. Ken, 50,000 sellouts, like, fans were right up for it, whereas, like, they know, like, nobody cares. As you've said yourself, I mean, 10,000 expected today is just, like, you know what I mean? It's frightening.
Grim scenes.
It's grim as it's ever been.
Scenes and a football game literally nobody wants to see. So yeah, that's our that's what our preview for that game.
I hope Shanklin plays and scores. That's the only thing I actually care about is Lawrence Shanklin at this point in time.
Can I ask why?
In the world, it's the only thing I care about.
It's the only thing I care about before I go to bed at night. Everything. Whilst I look at my framed Chris Boyd strip, thinking, hopefully I can get a Lawrence Shanklin one up there next to it. But no, genuinely, like, I'm well behind that about Shanklin getting into the team and stuff. I think that, and it's again, it's a bit of a balance here about being a bit of a dab. Oh, he's scoring goals, but to be fair, it actually is. Like, you know what I mean? We've got absolutely nothing up front whatsoever. We're horrendous. Mm. Naismith's my first choice striker, and he's injured all the time. And even at that, he's not even like Ken, like, he's probably better in a behind the striker, you know. But I think we're absolutely get nothing up front. I've never seen how bad it is until just now. Like, there's nobody. McBurney, absolutely shocking. Like, no,
well,
it's
good for Loose Wanderers.
He is good for Loose Wanderers, to be fair. He is good for him. But I'm just like, nah, Ollie McBurney. It's just, and I'm not even trying to single him out before folks start, oh, the Rangers, oh, because he's a Rangers fan and all the rest. It doesn't do that. We've had actual Rangers legends captain in Scotland, that, like, i.e. Barry Ferguson. Get what I mean? Like he was a brilliant person. No, when he was a kid. But obviously, like, he was like the best player we had at one point. Like, well behind that. Boyd, when he was at Rangers, scored goals, all the rest of it. But Kenny Miller. But you're just like, McBurney, Ken, like, it's just a stupid argument for Rangers fans online that that's why he's getting singled out. He's absolutely brutal, like, and he doesn't even want to play for us either. That's, I mean, that video that went viral with him, man, like, that should just be, like, that should be enough for him never, ever to set foot in the country ever again. Like, no, don't want folk like that playing for Scotland when we're paying £30 a ticket to go and watch that absolute dross.
Aye, but that's what I mean. Does that not then feed into the, well, they don't really care. At the end of the day, they're just turning up for international duty. It doesn't really matter to them if they get turned over by Belgium in a game where they're not really expected to win.
Oh, absolutely. Aye. No, I agree with you with that. Like, I do agree with you with that. But I think that when you look at, like, the games that you quoted, Spain, France, Germany, Poland and that, all the games that we made hard for the opposition, and we had good performances. They've all been sellout games that the fans have been up for as well, whereas none of these games have been. Nobody cares at this moment in time. But I honestly do think it'll be a different feel getting into the Nations League game. I think that there will be. Well, I'll be at the Nations League games. I'll go to them. But I'm not going to any of the rest of the qualifying campaign. No chance. So can't be bothered. Wasting my time, wasting money. Even though I've got 2 or 3 tickets today, it's still a waste of money. But. No, I'm just like,
oh, brilliant.
But I don't want folk turning on Clark either, because I think these games are an absolute write-off, and he's just got to try and experiment. Don't get me wrong, whatever he's trying to do in the lab, the new isn't working, because there's absolutely nothing, and the team's changing every week, and I don't think we're anywhere close to finding a winning formula. But the Nations League, I know I keep repeating myself, but I think that will be a totally different feel around it, and I think that we will qualify via that.
Bye bye Scotland.
I can't wait to see all that. I've already been getting pictures all week. Steve Clark drinking bottles of vodka, etc. Russian vodka probably as well. The whole Alki part, which is unbelievable, to be honest. And I think it's really funny, like, how ridiculous it is, and how much he's got under their skin. I know it's something to behold.
Well, the chances are you're listening to this after Scotland San Marino, and what was it Clark was saying, let's make Russia be our low point. So if you're listening to this, you know what you just saw.
That's bad days though, isn't it, man? That's bad days. Your manager has to say that anyway. Let's make this our low point. Like, this is as worst as it's got to get, guys. Like, I know why you said that, I'm not going to go at him, but it just totally epitomises where the nation is at this moment in time, both politically and at international football level.
I wish I could go back to myself after the Slovenia game, the 2-2 draw over in Slovenia, where we failed to make the playoff for the World Cup. And I wish I could just go to myself, man, just like, if only you knew how good things really are right now.
Wait, what game was that again?
We needed to beat Slovenia away with your 2-2.
I mean,
it was just like, I just want to go back and just be like, see how you feel about Strachan right now. Nah, he's actually got this. He's actually doing pretty well.
They didn't even go 1-0 up. They went 1-0 down and then went 2-1 up and then chucked it.
Horrendous, man. It's just everyone about, man, the national team is I'm even that bitter. I don't sing certain lines in the national anthem when we play. That's how. That's the next line of that. I genuinely don't.
What lines?
I don't sing. For we can still rise now and be a nation again. I refuse to sing that. I genuinely don't. Ever since the referendum, I refuse to sing that line. I'm like, nah. What's the point? All these clowns running about with you, with the kilts on and that, they probably put a big X in the no box then, get what I mean? For we can still rise now and be a nation again. Geese peace, man.
And I think the national team's been the real embodiment of that kind of spineless shitebag.
But Gamba, you care about the people in Sheffield and Newcastle.
Yes.
Manchester. Yeah. Ollie McBurney is no different to anybody in Glasgow.
I care about the people further south than Southampton and Portsmouth.
The Cali jungle.
Workers have no nation, right? Anyway, boys, don't talk about something that will probably bring our mental health standards back up rather than the Scotland national team.
Joker.
Can I make a Joker reference? I mean, if you haven't seen Joker and you want to.
Spoiler free. I was going to say, can we go spoiler free, or are we spoiling it for people?
It's a specific scene that I want to reference, but
If you haven't seen Joker, skip ahead a minute.
The bathroom scene is me after I've killed Derek McInnes.
Parody, sarcasm, nobody's threatening any violence, no one's going to shoot up a cinema with the Aberdeen squad in it, are they, Ryan?
I'd like a disclaimer about my Gary Glitter reference earlier on in the podcast as well, in case anybody gets offended by that.
Well, he's actually going to be, we've opened the podcast with the Gary Glitter song, so.
I think we should do that.
We'll see. you know, the Gary Glitter thing is, like, people were complaining about it. I can understand, like, it's pretty, like, controversial, just like having fucking music.
It was.
But, like, it's one of these things where, like, I do understand, like, why it's in it, because there is that element of, like, he has just like killed his own mother, he's killed one of his co-workers, but, like, he's, like, killed all these people close to him. He's killed all these people close to him. He's then, like, just literally dressed up as a clown and he's dancing on the stairs. Just like, this is my moment of triumph. And it's just like, it's just so disconnected and just so fucking wrong. It's just like, the music has to be done by a convicted paedophile. Like, it's just, everything's just so wrong about what's happening in that moment. It's just like, that's the only soundtrack you can have there, really.
Mm-hmm. No,
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I agree as well.
I think you should plug your article just now as well, Crombie, which was very good.
Okay, if you want to read a review of the Joker, head to my Twitter. It'll be in the link for this podcast. But then people were saying that you'll get royalties and everything from the song. It's just like, all the money that you can spend behind bars. It's just...
Oh, do you not see what they get in jail, mate? You get PlayStations and recliner chairs and.
Well, I wonder if Gary got to be interested in joining our pro clubs team.
Aye, that would be safe to be behold.
Right. Anyway, so moving on from Joker and Gary Glitter, but we are a fan. And Crombie, you've actually seen it more times than I saw the Blade Runner sequel in the cinema, which is quite impressive. How many times did you see it in a week? Three, four times.
Three. Should have been four, but something else came up. So, disappointed. But
I've just seen it the once, and we'll be going again, I think, with my big brother who hasn't seen it.
It's just unreal.
That's sensational. How many times did you go and see Blade Runner, Gamba?
I went to see it three times.
See, it's now on Netflix.
Yeah, it is.
I've never seen it.
It's probably the best sequel ever made. It's absolutely unreal. Gosling's just the GOAT. Denis Villeneuve is probably the best working director right now.
What about the 20th Fast and Furious film?
Hobbs and Shaw.
God, what was it we went to go see when we saw the trailer for that? And it was just like, oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to remember what the hell it was. It might have been when we went to go see Tarantino or something like that, and it was just like that coming up beforehand. It was just like, I want to slit my wrist.
Speaking of,
like, I can't deal with this.
Speaking of sequels, when I went to see Joker the first time, the trailers for all the upcoming films. Well, no, yeah, I was with you, Gamba. One of them,
yes,
only one of them was not a remake.
Yeah, and it was one of the worst horror movies I've ever seen. Like,
what was it? The App film. That was just yeah. I expect that to get nothing less than 2% in Rotten Tomatoes. Nothing more than 2%.
What was it?
It was this app that told you when you die.
An app? Then,
aye.
Does that not sound kind of like quite Black Mirror?
No.
Watch
the trailer. I can't remember what it was called. But
you'll also find the link for that in the... You'll also find the link to the trailer and the link for the podcast.
Aye.
Yes.
Yeah, the show notes is just going to be links to movie trailers, scenes from films.
Blade Runner on Spotify Netflix.
Yep, uh-huh. Full discography of Gary Glitter. Ryan's review of Joker. Should we go back to football, or are we just going to...
mystery.
I suppose.
Ryan, we may as well continue the low as hell feeling. Aberdeen are currently fourth in the table. They're 4 points off Motherwell sitting in third. But... three wins, three draws, two losses, even goal difference at zero. It's been certainly a start to the season.
It's just perennial nothing, isn't it? It's just done. I mean, this next 2 minutes is just going to be utter depression. But it's just, no, it's similar to Scotland, except we don't have a Nations League to look forward to.
Oh, Jesus.
It's just dire. I mean, the style of foot. I mean, people complain, like, oh, well, you can get to finals finishing second in the league, third. Why are you complaining?
It's fourth just, last year.
Aye, but third in this first year. So if you'd like to not buy it, that'd be great.
Just had to remind myself of my greatest achievement.
True. It's just, I mean, people might start suggesting, oh, well, Aberdeen fans are entitled. But it's just like, nothing happens. Like, you get to a final, you get beat, qualify for Europe, go out in the third qualifying round by some nomad Eastern European side. Every year, it's become just a bit of a repetitive cycle that everyone's just used to. I mean, at the minute, at the minute, we're not going to get to any final because Aberdeen are absolutely abysmal. They're so bad. I think we've had two shots on target in like four games or something like that. I think the Rangers result, for anyone who's been watching Aberdeen this season, was fully expected. But at the same time, where results like that would have ruined my weekend previously, I just kind of saw the goals coming in and was like, yeah, well, expected that, don't really care. And I think that's now the case with a lot of people at Aberdeen. It's just boring. Nothing happens. And there's been no reaction. There's always just the talk from the dressing room, oh, well, we need to bounce back in the best possible way. For example, take the game at Tynecastle where Dennett McInnes brought on an extra defender in the last 10 minutes, five at the back, didn't even press the ball, just decided to sit back and let Hearts come on to us, and then conceded and then went out on penalties. So when they come out after that and be like, oh, well, we need to do better, I need to bounce back, and no better game to do that with a result at Ibrox on Sunday, get beat 5-0, and then the same kind of lines come out of the club, and it's just a dire 1-1 draw with Hibs. It's terrible. I mean, if you actually look at Aberdeen's results in isolation, I mean, the bottom four of the table, I don't think we've beaten. Well, we beat Hearts, drew 1-1 with St Johnstone at home, drew with Hibs, got beat off of St Mirren, still to play Celtic and Motherwell, who are above us in the table in this round of fixtures. So I think, in a way, Aberdeen's position in the table is a bit of a false one, because I mean, I think there's like four teams tucked in behind us on a point or 2 points.
Yeah, you've got Ross County level, Livingston 1 point behind, and Kilmarnock 1 point behind you.
I mean, they're going to overtake us. I expect us to get 1 point, if we're lucky, from the next two games coming up, which is Motherwell and Celtic. Because at the minute, like Scotland, the players don't really seem to be buying into what the manager's doing, or vice versa. But we'll finish off with a footnote saying that Curtis Main was the greatest signing of the season. And I think that signing just kind of sums it up.
I feel for you.
Yeah, I don't. I'm kind of over it.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I think I've used my season ticket to go to Hearts and St Johnstone this season, and I was having a glance at upcoming fixtures and was like, nope, because I'm not spending £60 on petrol to go up and down to watch a draw at home to Livingston.
Well, that was part of, I mean, it was the weekend that Joker actually came out. Lewis Kemp and I were going to see Joker, and we said to you, we said to the pod, do you want to come along? And you were going, I think Aberdeen are at home, but yeah, I'll come along. And we're like, oh Jesus, that is not good. Really not good.
Well, I mean, you saw my reaction when Sam Cosgrove equalised in the last 10 minutes.
You looked at both of us, you looked down at your phone, you took your drink, you took one sip, and you went,
he's here for longer.
Yeah. Is there any kind of, where do you actually see Aberdeen finishing at the moment? Do you think just fifth, because of how, because to me, kind of looking at the league, it does look as if there's a lot of poor teams in the league this year. Teams were good last season, aren't as good as they were right now, and Celtic and Rangers are about as good as they were last season.
Yeah.
I mean, I still see Aberdeen certainly finishing top six, but maybe not because of...
No. And I think...
It is because of how good a football team they are, but Aberdeen can regress and still, because of the quality they have, finish top six, but it's not going to be good.
No.
And certainly your match reports have been grim.
Yeah. I mean, it is grim. It's awful. Aberdeen literally... they do nothing for 90 minutes. It's just the most attritional style of football ever. And I think what adds to the kind of can't be arsed attitude from, well, myself and other people is the kind of return of Celtic and Rangers at the top. And it's just, it looks like it's going to be a Celtic and a Rangers League Cup final. And then you look at the table and you're like, oh, it's just back to being Celtic and Rangers. What is the point? I mean, I know there is an element of, well, missed opportunities from certain clubs, but that's all just kind of by the by. You just kind of look at it and go, well, we've got a game at the weekend coming up against Motherwell. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably a decider for third, fourth. But as an Aberdeen fan, when you finished fourth last season, got into Europe, which you're not even guaranteed to get into Europe finishing fourth, and then just go out, it's just the never-ending cycle of nothing happening. And when you see it just back to being Celtic and Rangers at the top of the league, it's just a bit, what's the point?
I don't want to leave it on what's the point, but I really don't know where to go.
Well, I mean, Casey, I'm not going to speak for Casey, but I think there's a similar element of attitudes amongst... majority of other Scottish teams. I mean, even St Johnstone to an extent, where they've been punching above their weight every year. I mean, they're now bottom of the table. Hibs Hearts, dire this year, utterly dreadful. If you're not a Celtic or a Rangers fan, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone else.
Maybe Motherwell.
Motherwell, yeah. But everything's just a bit shite.
A bit shite. Callum, Kilmarnock season. It's been interesting, I would say.
Aye.
From an outsider looking in, it's It's not gone as bad as, I mean, I remember the last podcast we recorded and you were saying he needs to win against Rangers or he's gone because we will get clamped, considering in the last minute, and it's not been terrible, I wouldn't say.
For the record there, in case it looks like I wanted rid of the manager.
Well, you did. I think you write several pieces and publish local newspapers.
Me and Gordon Parks are giving each other another ammo. No, I did think that.
Get this spaghetti munching.
Yes, this gangster.
Pizzagate Alessio.
Pizzagate Alessio. No, honestly, I've no wanted a Kerry manager today as well in my entire life than I want Angelo Alessio to do well to prove wrong all the doubters. I did say that, I did think that given how low we were at that point, that he actually had to get something for the Rangers game. Because I could only see it going one or two ways. I could either see us, you know, doing all right, which we actually did, or getting absolutely hammered, but it was more so the hammering that I could see coming. I just thought Rangers would have been well up for it. But no, it done well. I mean, 7 clean sheets out of 8 is unbelievable. Since, I know this sounds like a kind of Mark Warburton when if Celtic had lost 2 games and we'd won this and that, right? But minus, if you take away the first 2 games of the season, which were bad results against Rangers and Hamilton, we've only conceded in 1 game after that, and that was against Celtic at Parkhead. So, you know what I mean? Like, the defensive record is very, very good. And that includes 2 cup games where we played for 120 minutes and never conceded a goal. But as you'll be aware, the difference is the going forward, I still think we're kind of lacking killer instinct. No particular striker. Don't get me wrong, I could be doing with another option up there. But I think that we need a link from midfield to attack, which we've been crying out for. And Greg Kilty getting out on loan was a strange call, I think. But no, all in all, I think we'll be alright this year. Everything's going on about how good a season Motherwell's been having, which is fair enough. I mean, they're doing alright. There's a feel-good factor around the club. But, I mean, we've played all of the top 4 for last season. You know, and us making
yourselves
the other part of the top 4, aye, but yeah, you know what I mean, we've played Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen. I think the Motherwell have only played Celtic, if I'm right in saying, and I think they're only like maybe 3 points ahead of us or whatever. So it's just quite funny because people were quite quick to say how poor we've been, yeah, how good Motherwell have been, whereas there's no much to change the table. But then again, Ryan's argument that Aberdeen are in a false position, like he thinks they should be lower in the league, given you look at it and it doesn't look like that bad a start to the season. But it's just kind of worrying. You look at when I get the table up here, just like the average points taken for every game is really poor, like for every time out with the top 3, let's say, because to be fair to Motherwell, I mean, they're taking an average of 2 points for every game, which is very good and get you up there to come the end of the season. But you know, you're just like Aberdeen, like played 8 games, 12 points, like not really good enough for them. And I mean, Livingston and County are about where you'd expect, like their points tally is fair, but they should be sitting lower down in the league with that, if you get me, and that goes with us as well. It feels like the Rangers and Celtic are a long way ahead of everybody else in the league this year, and there'll be no challenge to them whatsoever. But no, I'll take, if we can finish top 6 again, I think that'd be a remarkable achievement, and to build on that again, and hopefully the manager gets back in the January and summer transfer windows to get more of his own players in.
It was something I was going to say, because the amount of clean sheets that you've had, it kind of reminds me of, I'm going to make an analogy here that you're going to laugh at, right. And I know you'll laugh at it because it's a bit ridiculous, but there was a kind of theory that when Wenger took over Arsenal, he had this really good defensive kind of base. And all he needed to do was kind of bring in some attacking players to kind of create that team. And there is an element of, like, if Alessio actually knows how to play attacking football, if you can use that kind of base, build something that can kind of go forward, you can create something that can do a wee bit special. But again, with that back, it is that backdrop of that Connors Key result is going to stay there for a while, and
who knows, beating them yesterday and all that.
It's one of those ones where that's going to be hard to forget, and who knows whether we will get backed and things like that. He absolutely should, but it'll be interesting to see how it kind of goes.
There was a good interview with the Kelly chairman Billy Bowie on the I don't think they've got a chairman. It's something bizarre like that. But the major shareholder of the club, Billy Bowie, on the Kelly TV, and he was basically saying, obviously what he's saying, I know words are, can actions speak louder than words and all the rest of it, but it was good. He was just saying, we'll learn from the European experience, and it's no, if we get back into Europe, it's when we get back into Europe. So it's good to see that that is the motivation again, to try and be a regular kind of top 4 or 5 club again, which I think that we should be at anyway. So I just thought that looked fairly positive, and then hopefully, mainly because of how poor the rest of the league is, I don't see why we can't push for fourth or third again this season. Because I'm really disappointed with Aberdeen, because I thought they recruited really well, minus Curtis Main. And letting go of Stevie May as well, I think, was poor business. I'm thankful that the rest of the league don't really look up too much. I don't think that MDL's, minus Rangers and Celtic, are better than us in the league. If we get beat with them, I'd be disappointed with every team in the league doing that. So, I don't see why there's anything stopping us from actually pushing forward again.
Again, as I've said, there are so many teams in that kind of block. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up pushing on, probably at the expense of Aberdeen, if Ryan's doomsaying is to be believed. I mean, fourth could be a real possibility.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on? Or is there anything else we need to go? Do you want to let me talk about Celtic? Is this something are we going to entertain this?
I suppose.
I'm kind of sad we didn't record a European Meltdown podcast myself after Cluj.
Must be so terrible coming off the back of a treble gamble.
I suppose I did want to kind of channel my Celtic dad and just be like, listen, treble, how can you complain? It's just like, yeah, I've seen us beaten at home by PSG, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, and Cluj. It was insane. I suppose remember the 90s. Yeah, hey, they even had results in Europe then. just insanely depressing that game. And I think the result the Celtic had against Cluj in the Europa League kind of showed what would have happened if we'd played our defence, our actual defence that we have now in that game. It's just really, really disappointing not to have even been in the Champions League playoff again, because I think we had a really, really good opportunity. But hey-ho, Europa League, Lazio, Ren, Cluj again. I think if Celtic pick up a win against Lazio, neither one of these next two games, I think they'll go through. I think if they draw and lose the games, then they're out. I think it's just a kind of that simple. I really, really wanted Lazio and Ren to draw their game. I really didn't want them to pick up points, but anyhow, here we are. Looking at the league, obviously we're fucking second, which is great. I think the league's going to go down to the last few days, maybe even the last day. I still think Celtic are a better team than Rangers, but I think there is that much of a gulf between Celtic, Rangers and the rest of the league, that if Celtic can pick up points against Rangers in the games head to head, if Celtic are going to drop points against Hibs and against Livingston, Rangers are good enough to beat every other team in that league. And they don't have to be on their day to do it. So I can see the league genuinely going down to the last day, which worries me.
Did you see the bot that predicted that Rangers would win the league?
a bot predicted that Rangers would win the league?
Aye, like some computer system went through all the fixtures and it's like a betting or statistics system or whatever.
The bot, I guess,
or
no?
The bot. Yeah, this is interesting because as not many people know, I actually built my own robot to predict scenarios. So I'm quite intrigued by this.
It was basically just predicted. But you know, see if I can get the article up. If you bear with us a wee second.
We'll post the link to this in the notes as well.
Sandwich between Gary Glatter's Spotify and Crombie's article and Joker.
And the link to see Blade Runner, obviously, as well.
Supercomputer, let's see. Supercomputer makes Celtic Rangers title prediction. Is Kilmarnock tipped for stunning season as well? So, let's see. Where is it?
It's the same one that cracked the German code in World War.
It said that we'll finish third, which would be great.
Where did it say Aberdeen would finish?
I'm trying to think it. Aye, right, here's a full league, right? Rangers, 92 points.
92 points.
Celtic, 89. Kilmarnock, 57. Aberdeen, 54. Motherwell, 54. Livingston, 47. Hibs, 46. County, 44. Hearts, 42. St Johnstone, 36. Hamilton, 35. And St Mirren, 35. But St Mirren will go down in goal difference. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, no, because we know that Hamilton Accies are not... that's nonsense, because we know Hamilton Accies are not going to get relegated, no matter how...
No, but
like,
they're 11th, though. So
they won't even finish in the playoffs.
They still get the Nations League to look forward to.
I think on that
note. Europe, interesting, the league... slightly worrying, but not because of how bad Celtic have been. It's just if you drop points in like two games, that's you're goosed. I think it's going to go down to the last day. But I think if Celtic can pick something up against Rennes, I think we might have European football after... Not Rennes, sorry. Lazio. I think if we can pick something up against Lazio at home, I think the other games that are remaining, I think we'll have European football after Christmas.
Here's one, though.
Which would be good.
Well, maybe you've just answered your own question now. But if you fear the league going to the last day of the season with Celtic playing European football after Christmas, would you take getting knocked out of Europe in order to concentrate in the league?
Oh yeah, I'd sacrifice everything for the league. Everything can go.
Celtic da, man.
Absolutely.
What's this, 8 in a row this year?
This is 9.
Oh, this is for 9, so it is.
So this would be the second Celtic team to do 9 in a row. So no, I'd sacrifice everything for the league.
Except like 5 of your 9 doesn't count.
Tainted, I suppose, because we cheated to win them.
Tainted titles, yep.
Tainted titles because Celtic cheated to win them, yeah.
Yeah.
By not playing certain teams.
Correct. No competition.
Yeah. No competition, absolutely.
That's 6 years.
I want the Rangers dark equivalent of Paul Larkin to do an Asterisk League years documentary about how they were tainted.
Yeah.
Anywho, on that note, are we calling it that? Have you guys got any thoughts on how the league's going to go in terms of the title challenge?
Stevie May, top goal scorer.
Aye.
Funny that Stevie May actually decides to score when somebody manages to pick out a run that he makes, which makes you start to think. It might not have been Stevie May that was the problem.
Did you see his penalty though, man? Shocking.
Aye.
I know I can't talk, man. Osman Sow's penalty was horrific for us, right enough, but...
Aye,
but he bounced back and he scored just after it. So.
Right, boys, I feel we probably should wrap up on that note for a sleepy... depressing almost listening to you guys Sunday morning podcast. Are we going to be back? We'll be back at some point, are we going to say? Callum, I know Ryan's just... he'll be done with football by Christmas.
Yeah. Between by Christmas.
Out of football by Christmas, man. I'll be back. I'll be back, you know. We've got to dust ourselves down and we've got to get back on, you know. We've got to bounce back.
Yep. Pick ourselves up. Yep.
Yeah, pick ourselves up, you know.
Sounds like an Aberdeen team, man.
Yeah, the listeners expect more from us and only ourselves to blame, but no, yes. No better way to rectify that than do a podcast in the next week.
Yeah, but we'll be back as soon as we know, because we would like to get a hold of, I know, Tom McKinnon, Lewis Carroll.
No.
Okay, cool. Right, anyway, thank you for keeping us in your podcast feeds. We'll be back at some point. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.